This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're talking about five deadly venoms.
For the record, this entire episode is being dubbed. In English, but it's dubbed.
Hey, you're a good friend. I like you.
The original title is Wudu. Probably saying that wrong. W-U-D-U. Wudu. Directed by Che Chang. Written by Kwang Ni and Che Chang. Starring Shang Qiang, Qian Sun, Philip Chung, Feng Kwok. And that's all you're getting out of me. Pai Wei.
Jeff, you mispronounced
Dick Wei.
It. It's Philippe.
Oh, yeah. So, nice.
It's actually Kevin.
Feng, I don't know. Any of these, to you guys who are more into these movies, are any of these big names that you guys know of? Because I didn't know anybody.
Some familiar faces here, but yeah, I'm definitely no expert on these guys, like beyond some of like the biggest names. Mm-hmm. Which I should.
I think.
Be.
Yeah, the guy that plays the Toad Venom, I think he was. I saw an IMDb that. Mangler. He's in the Ip Man series. He's one of the other masters somewhere. Yeah. Just like, all right, cool. He said, this guy's still working, so that's great.
I was wondering if any of these guys have shown up in, like, Kill Bill or anything like that, because Quentin... this definitely feels like something Quentin would have liked and watched in the past, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know or no?
I don't know.
No. Okay. All right, well, whose movie is this, Alex?
It's mine.
Scott's.
Yeah. Oh, Scott. All right, what's your history with this movie?
So I'm a dabbling fan in kung fu movies. Like we just established, I'm definitely no expert. But this is one of the ones that I always think of as, like, just being rad and being a good example of the genre, the subgenre. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I saw this originally on cable. Just on one night, late at night, and I just watched it a lot when there was no pausing. That's how long ago it was. But remember thinking, this is awesome. And was enthralled by the whole thing. And this time around, I watched it on Amazon Prime. The transfer is not great, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough film to begin with, and then in, you know, widescreen and high def doesn't really do too many favors. All that said, it still has like a kind of a sharp look to it, almost like a soap opera, really, which is kind of weird. But yeah, and then finally I watched it dubbed again, which I don't think I've ever seen it in the original Chinese. So
same, yeah.
All right. Alex, what's your history with the movie?
Scott brought it over one day. He's like, dude, have you seen The Five Deadly Venoms? And I said, no. He's like, we should watch it. And then we rented it, and it was amazing. I also thought it was great. And, yeah, I haven't watched it since, which I don't know why not. But I should try and find, yeah, see if there's at least, hopefully there's at least a DVD of it somewhere.
Oh, there's
a little bit cleaned up, but
yeah, like it would be cool if they did some kind of like not just a remaster, but yeah, cleaned up at least a little.
All right, my history with this, I had never heard of it until I watched it yesterday. I watched it on YouTube. The whole video was free on YouTube, so that's where I got it from.
Okay,
See, I didn't find that.
I'm assuming dubbed.
It was dubbed, yeah, which I thought was going to be, okay, this might be a drawback, and I'm sure it's better, but if you guys had to watch it dubbed too, then I guess I didn't miss out on anything.
feel like this movie isn't very heavy on plots.
and that's kind of why I went with it. Like, I'm pretty sure based on the description, I don't really need. I'm not missing out on much.
There definitely were some dubbing mistakes. Like at one point, they give people the wrong numbers because they had like, you're number one. Oh, you're number three. Like, they screwed that up at one point in the dubbing script, which confuses things a little bit. And I feel like they pronounce some of the names differently at points too, which is also kind of confusing.
It just adds to the mystery.
It does.
All right, well, let's get into it. As usual, we're going to talk about seven items from the movie. Scott, what's your number seven?
Okay, so my number seven is this is definitely something that is like a hallmark of Hong Kong cinema, is that, or maybe Chinese movies in general, I don't know, I haven't seen enough, but the magistrate, which I'm sure is what is a more accurate term for the judge, gets away with everything at the very end, when they kind of hand wave it like, oh, he's bad, but whoever's replacing him is going to be just as bad. Yeah. And I don't think they were making any kind of real statement about, like, the system back then or now or 1978. I think what it was is they couldn't take out an authority figure like that. Like, the magistrate still represents, like the, you know, the power structure, the going on in China. So I think they had, like, it was kind of taboo to, like, take that guy out, like, at least in that context. So it's something that I've been thinking a lot of. Maybe I'm way overthinking it. So that's my number seven.
Probably.
No, that makes sense to me what you're saying.
Yeah.
Alex, number seven.
My number seven is that the poor witness didn't even want to get involved until the quote-unquote hero snitches on him, tells the truth, is forced and tortured to tell a lie, and then he gets killed for it. Thanks.
It's true. Yeah.
Poor bastard. It's like, it doesn't pay to help the authority figures.
Well, he was greedy, though.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he deserved all that.
Well, at first he was like, he tried to, like, tell the guy.
That's true.
Before he even was, like, offered silver or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, hey, look, I saw that. Get out of here, you stinking gambler. You don't know shit. Yeah. He's like, all right.
Yeah. He's supposed to be comic relief, too, and that definitely fell flat in this movie, but...
Yeah.
He's, like picking up his legs one at a time. He's trying to run away. Yeah.
They play good cop, bad cop. Bad cop just beats the shit out of him. Good cop goes... Okay, I'll give you some silver if you tell us. Okay, well, then this is why didn't you start with that? You didn't have to punch me in the balls.
All right. My number seven was the dubbing. It was awful. It is what it is. You're watching an old movie, but oh my God. It's distracting.
I don't think I could watch this one. Like, I don't really have any desire to watch this one in the Chinese. Like,
I do.
Not
it'll demystify some of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, man, this is all, like, making sense now.
Like, well, it's just, this is how I, like, if I've enjoyed the movie. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't disagree with you, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is definitely Shaw Brothers at its peak. Like...
And you are saying that some of them was wrong, some of the numbers were wrong, because I was getting confused on who was who. Like, it took me almost halfway through the movie before I was kind of like, okay, I feel comfortable that I kind of know what's going on. With the first 40 minutes of this movie, I didn't know who was who and what was what. And I thought, just when I thought, oh, whatever, one, yeah, and I think that's what it was, one part anyway. I was confused when I finally thought I knew who number one was and number two, and then they switched numbers, names on me. I was like, what the hell?
Yep. Gonna keep the audience on their toes.
Alright, Scott, number six.
Okay. So number six, this was coming, I completely forgot about this. But it was the snake sound effects. Every time he tries to do like the snake strike. Yeah. So just close up of the fingers. Every time he did it, too.
It's like, oh, you better dodge that. He's telegraphing it awful early.
Yeah, I love just leaning into it really hard. But pretty much do with all the styles, which I want to talk about. But yeah, I love how far they lean into that. Yeah.
You mean brilliant, Jeff.
It was dumb.
I mean, you don't want to get
hit. All right. Alex, number six.
My number six is that the whole thing with the Venoms was like they're searching for the teacher's friend that was supposedly super rich, and they were going to steal his treasure and his money to give to the clan to make it stronger or whatever.
No. The idea was that the old master was like, yeah, we're evil as shit. So, like, right. And I guess I was a part of that, but he was like, we need to make sure that we don't do any more evil. And I know this one guy got rich off what we did, and he's gonna like give it to charity, or at least that's what we're gonna tell people. And they wind up giving it to charity. The idea is like, oh well, if we spend this money, like all the horrible shit the clan did is like kind of canceled out. There is no more Poison Clan by the end of the movie.
Okay, well that's not my number six. My number six is that Snake seems pretty rich already.
Yeah,
but I guess it makes sense. It's like, well, no, we want that money. I guess, you know, he's rich. You could always be richer.
I guess,
especially if you can kill the old man and take his treasure. But it's like, to me, it's like I don't think he needs that money. I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's like living large over there. Yeah, he's like got enough clout to like make the magistrate do what he wants to do. The judge, yeah. And the judge is like, nobody wants to fuck with the judge, so he must be doing pretty good for himself.
It's good to be the judge.
Also, I do.
Damn it!
I do like that Snake, Chi Tung.
Call me Plissken.
Iroquois Plissken.
Yeah.
How he's like the only one of them that kind of goes through an arc. Like, so stop me if it's on anybody's list, but when he starts going, like, will the killing ever end? It was like a moment of self-reflection.
And that was it.
And yeah, he gets over it pretty quick. But
But yeah. Yeah, Snake seems pretty good. So I don't know why he's letting Centipede just kill whoever he wants. He's like, oh, you idiot.
Who would have thought of someone who's rich wanting more?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. All right. My number six is the reveals throughout the episode, or sorry, the movie. Oh, you are Snake! And then we just flash back to the training montage or whatever we saw at the beginning of the movie. It's freaking stupid. Especially when some of them are just like, you are wearing wrists. I know you're Snake because you have wrist gauntlets or something.
They did a close up on the wrist gauntlets, like, all the, like. Like at the end of the movie, they're still doing that. Like, yeah, we know he's the guy. Also, if he's undercover, like, that's not smart.
We just think snakes are cool.
Yeah, just leading. He's the only one wearing like this. Like when they're all standing next to each other with the masks, which by the way makes no sense because they go out of their way to say that one and two were gone by the time he started training three. But when they're all standing there together, like Snake is the only one wearing like the silver jumpsuit. Everybody else just has like a random like drab color.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like to me, like they're all doing like crazy, stupid shit, and then like, he's the lizard because he walked on the wall a little bit better than the other guy. So they're all flipping off walls and shit, and the one guy, Snake because he was low to the ground and.
Admittedly, it didn't seem that big of a difference between. The centipede and the scorpion style. Like, scorpion, he did more kicks, like high kicks.
Yeah, he kicked behind him all the time.
Scorpion kicks.
He didn't do very many scorpion kicks.
Get over here!
But like the centipede was supposed to be moving really fast, so they would like do that close up of him like flailing, basically.
Yeah, and they sped up the film
a little bit. Yeah. But,
oh shit! Here comes the centipede.
But like when they're describing it, they're like, this one's very agile. The next one is like, This one's also very agile.
Yeah.
At least they describe like three of them like agile. Like the toad's like the other one that's like really different. They're like, yeah, you just basically you're invincible. Snake is pretty deadly though too.
Cause... Yeah.
All right, Scott number five.
Okay. But number five is the lizard wire work.
It was cool.
I loved all of it. Yeah, it was really cool. Like, there's really like a couple spots where it's like blatantly obvious, for, like where they were like harnessed up and like where the weight was distributed and all that jazz. For the most part, like they did a pretty good job of kind of like disguising the wires, even though it was really obvious. I bet if I stop and like pause it and slow down, spot them pretty easily. But I did like that. Like how that worked made no sense, like how effective it was. It's like a fighting style. Seems awesome for getting away or like to avoid blows. It's an
escape tactic,
but like to use it for offensive reasoning didn't make a whole lot of sense, unless I guess you're tag teaming somebody if they happen to be like standing like the perfect distance away while you're like in a really tiny room or hallway. But the actual wire work though was rad.
Agreed. All right, Alex, number five.
My number five is that the last Venom that knows that knows a little bit of every style. He wasn't. I feel like he wasn't involved enough in the investigation. Like he did that little bit to help arrest Centipede, but then after that, he was like gone for like most of the movie until he found out who Lizard was, and then he convinced him to team up with him.
Yeah, I mean, his character was supposed to be, like, comic relief, too, and he really wasn't. At least...
I know.
Not for us, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish he did... Because he was already, you know, quote-unquote disguised as, like, a bum or a beggar and stuff, and maybe gathering a bit more information and figuring stuff out would have been cooler.
I don't think he ever, like, other than the lizard style, does he ever actually, like, use the other styles? He just... It's good at fighting, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. He seemed a little bit more tanky.
He was basically he's basically the lizard guy 2.0.
Well, he had to adapt to his style because that's who he teamed up with. I'm sure if he got to team up with any of the other ones,
he
would have adapted his style more.
That's a good point. I retract my statement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Alex.
Actually can, like, convincing argument and getting me to go along with it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
It's taken 480 episodes, but it finally happened. All right. Alex, number five or my number five, Alex?
You're number five, Johnny.
Okay, the fight at the end was, like, I don't know, 50 minutes too long? That fucking shit went on forever.
No way!
Yeah, you're wrong, Joe.
It's like saying, oh, the Titanic took way too long to sink. Come on, man.
God. Oh, it just went on way too long. And then it was over, and they run away. The end of the movie. Like, oh, my God.
The end. Yeah. We got the map. The end. Yeah. Which was right, the stylist time.
That fight just, it was the most... Sorry, it was terrible. Anyway, Scott number four.
My number four is that it was surprisingly violent. I didn't remember just how violent it was.
My number three.
So, wait till you get into it more, Alex. But yeah, just surprise for. I mean, it was 1978, so there were violent. It wasn't like it was that novel, but yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting that out of one of these kind of movies. Although, Master of the Flying Guillotine. it's also one of my favorites. It's also ultra violent, so maybe I'm like just completely wrong about the being surprised, but or out of touch for being surprised. But that is my number four.
Okay, Alex, number four.
My number four is that I was the only style that I was disappointed in a little bit was Toad style. You know, I get that he trained his body and everything to be impervious. And he only has, like, an Achilles heel, if you will. But other than that, it was just like kind of basic kung fu. I guess he was built more physically, which gave him like a distinctive look. But every other style had like certain motions and stuff, or one thing that made him apart instead of just like, oh, I'm, you know, bulletproof.
The only thing I'd say to that, Alex, is the lizard guy is like should not be able to stand up to the other styles unless he's like on the wall, right? So,
well, that's right. That's
but he does though. He like absolutely holds his own against everybody. Like, well, at least the people he fights at the end. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, no candle is safe. When the lizard is wrapped.
Yeah, that's true.
Blow those motherfuckers out. No matter where they are.
I was waiting for that to come into play, and it never really did.
Yeah.
The toad never used his tongue. True. And he wasn't struck by lightning, so I was really disappointed.
That's true. It's not like Kung Fu Hustle. I was like, oh, this guy's toad style. I was like, oh shit, he's turning into a toad.
Alright. My number four is also the gore in this, which... It's just a couple scenes. They kind of come out of nowhere. Even, like, which I'll talk a little bit more about the Iron Maiden thing later.
Yeah,
like, that was not that gory. I mean, it was very bad makeup, I thought, when that happened. It wasn't that bad. But later on, when he's, like, sticking the needle in the guy's nose or the hook in his mouth, like, that kind of came out of nowhere and was pretty gruesome.
That was nasty.
And those weren't even, like, the worst, like, murders.
No, they weren't the worst murders.
No, it wasn't. They weren't, but they're, yeah. It was like, ooh.
That's what I cringe the most for, but so yeah. Anyway, the gore, to kind of continue what Scott was saying. The gore, gore is my number four. Alex, I mean, sorry, Scott. What's your number three?
My number three is my most disturbing death, which was the wet paper assassination.
Yeah,
like bothered me.
That's fucking nightmare fuel. Yeah,
that was like everything else is like okay. Like Iron Maiden's like exotic in. Like there's some. It's funny that they, you know, I don't think there was ever a thing in China, but there's some dispute.
I know, about I was wondering it was ever about actually that.
Used, like in medieval times in the like Europe.
No, yeah, I thought somebody made it up in like a Cabinet of Curiosities.
Type yeah, thing. Yeah. So there's like, did it ever actually exist? But
I've seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Excellent.
Execute them.
Bogus.
But the wet paper, I'm like, oh shit, that would actually work. Like, out of all the kung fu, they like do something ultra like practically like ground Ooh. level. And that bugged me. That was an awful way.
Yeah.
And then I
thought they were like waterboarding at first. Yeah. Like, no, they're just flat out killing them.
Also, I was thinking about like the actor, the stuntman, if there was something ever like laying there for that guy. I'm like, that had to fucking suck to like just be sitting there and have somebody do that to you. Like, yeah. I don't know if they would do that for real now. Anyway,
I felt like it was pretty quick though.
I guess it didn't go on too long, but still, that's like just awful. All the stuff in this movie. That's the thing that bugged me the most as far as the violence. So yeah, that's my number three.
All right, Alex, number three.
My number three is the nasty kills. Yeah, when they were poking out those guys' medulla oblongatas. That was pretty bad.
The bottom.
And then they went all, after they found Toad's weakness, they went all Passion of the Christ on him. Put the iron coat. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the makeup was bad, but it's still like, ooh.
It's bad, but it was effective, like...
Yes.
They're using, like, the bright orange blood. Like, I don't know if that was just the film, or... It was probably a combination of the film and, like, what it actually looked like, but...
Yeah. It was the style at the time.
Yeah.
I love those movies like that, yeah.
Bright what was blood. His weakness? Was it his ears? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when he got the two scorpion-shaped daggers. I wonder who threw those.
Yeah.
stuck in his ears.
Which also was disturbing, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
I was wondering, like, how the hell he got him in both sides of his head. That made no sense. Like, did he throw him like boomerangs? Because
he must have.
There's no way he could have thrown them from the same place and have them hit at the same time.
Well, I don't think he threw them. I think he must have kicked them somehow. with a scorpion kick.
He kicked one and threw the other.
And there was like a second delay between them. So the one guy goes, ah, and he turned away once the one hit him and the other one hit him.
I thought they were like,
no, I'm just making that. I'm making that. Yeah, I'm making that.
Okay. I thought they were just, okay, yeah. We're good. This kung fu.
But yeah, it did kind of come out of nowhere because you're watching this movie. It's like, okay, they're doing an investigation. You see some kung fu and everything, but nothing too, like, there's no blades or anything like that. It's all fisticuffs. And then, like, blood everywhere.
So that means, like, they could have tried to stab him in the eye, and, like, the blade would have, like, bent.
Like Superman, with that bullet.
Yeah, they could have, like, kicked him in the balls over and over again. Wouldn't have mattered.
Like Master Payne.
Yeah.
Towel.
All right, my number three is Iron Maiden, just because it felt ridiculous in this movie. I don't know why. And then
out of everything,
he gives them the schematic, just a drawing, like, oh, we'll make this in a day. We'll figure this out right away.
And then I'm wondering if what word they used in Mandarin or whatever. Like, I don't know. Iron Maiden. Did they use Iron Maiden? Or is it a...
That's a good question.
Yeah. So that was, for some reason, that popped in. Yeah. Anyway. Scott. Number two.
My number two is also the Iron Maiden. Just ridiculous. I love the makeup afterwards. Like, all the little pinpricks that ran
out. Yeah, the dots.
Yeah, I thought that was, this was still very effective, even with the bright orange blood. The fact that was even a thing in this movie, like Jeff was saying. And then it gets followed up with, like, the coat. Like, I almost feel like they should have added in, like, a couple more, like, horrible things to do to him before they just decided to off him. Like, the other thing I didn't get is, like, they like, based on the Iron Maiden, so they're all being, like, I don't know, circumspect about, like, being so corrupt, but they have him, like, sign his, like, unconscious body, like, using his unconscious body to sign, like, his, like, the whole court is there, like, I guess at that point they just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Just dropping all pretenses. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Iron Maiden number two.
Yeah. All right, Alex, number two.
My number two is, I liked, despite the toad style, how they made every other martial arts style distinctive. They at least had one thing that made them completely different from the other Venom styles. I thought that was really cool. As ridiculous as it was, I really loved Snake. Because you've seen Snake style before, like, if you watch a lot of kung fu movies,
yeah,
you see, you know, people do Snake style, Crane style, stuff like that. But I've never seen any other movie do the head of the snake and the tail of the snake in the same, like, as a style. It's like, I thought that was really clever.
I think it was more like finger based too, rather than single fingers, as opposed to like the. Like, making your hand in the shape of a snake and then hitting somebody with it.
Yeah. And then he was wriggling on the floor like everything. Centipede was just super fast. You don't want it. It's like a centipede in a china shop. You don't want that guy.
Yep.
I'm shopping for plates.
Just like, the chopping plates did not look good, by the way.
Just, right, hold off. Amazing. Don't talk too much about that. That's...
Okay. And then, yeah, the lizard climbing the walls and everything, which is super specific, but maybe that's, you know, that's the style best suited
for him. It was also super highly agile.
Yeah. And Toad was just Toad. He's just a buff guy. Well, we can make your skin impenetrable.
I'm okay. The best.
Which is fine. I like Toad as a character.
The best.
But yeah, all the styles. The five styles.
All right. My number two is a sound effect kicking my ass. Like, I know this is a
no way.
Kung Fu thing or a Shaw Scope thing, but my God, just the... It's all you hear. It's just somebody was just the Casio keyboard just goes, and then that springing sound that I don't even know how to do it, like the
$6 million
band. Yeah. Oh yeah, when they were tipping or paying for the pairs. Yunk.
God, it's just then that you sound like there's not even a variation on it. It's the same freaking sound, just over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was too much.
You think that might have been the age in the was when this movie came out, the 70s?
78.
Yeah, 78. Where, like CGI is today, sound was back then. At least sound effects. A little bit bananas.
I don't think they were. I don't think they were trying to pioneer anything here.
No, but it's. I mean, neither was whatchamacallit. What's that explosion movie that sucks?
X versus Sever.
X versus Sever. Yeah, exactly.
I was joking. I don't think you're actually talking about
that. No, yeah. They were trying to pioneer any stuff. They just wanted CGI and special effects. It's like, oh, we need to have sound effects. In every 2-bit movie.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about Shaw's scope. Were these movies made on the cheap? Like, are they like the what's his name? Like the
I don't.
Roger Corman of Kung Fu movies? Or
I don't. That, you know, that's an interesting comparison. I don't think they're going for like the pure kind of schlock that Corman was. So it's kind of apples and oranges. But I mean, it was like a completely different market that they were making these movies for. So again, it's difficult to really compare them. But yes, they were trying to churn them out, like make as much money as they could. Like, so yeah, I'm sure they did not spend a ton of time actually filming. Just prep some of the fights, did make it like immaculate beards in this movie, by the way.
Hell yeah!
But some good beards. Did some good makeup work there, and then yeah, filmed it all in probably like a month, if that.
If that, yeah.
Because I'm thinking this, the tech. I mean, so this came out a year after Star Wars, which obviously has great. Sound effects, but that's a decent Hollywood. I mean, I forgot what the budget was for Star Wars, but
$2 million.
I was sure it was more than this, right?
Yes. And,
all right, our number one, Scott.
My number one is the 5-way showdown at the end, so they could showcase, like Alex has been saying, like all the different fighting styles, and like really lean into them. It's the first time you see. Lizard really fights, first time you really see Scorpion fight. You have to see them all go at it at the same time. It's a lot of fun. I do think it is funny that Scorpion shows up like his chest out, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it should like, I guess they had to be like, okay, well, he's going to be the Scorpion, so we need to have him like, kind of dressed like a scorpion somehow.
Yeah, heel turn.
Yeah, the heel turn, like, heel turn. It would have been better if he was, like, still in his, like, cop uniform or whatever. But, yeah, were you guys surprised? Like, I mean, Alex knew it was coming, I'm sure, but I don't know, Jeff, if you even cared that much at that point, but.
I knew that, what was he, a cop or whatever? Like, I knew he was.
Yeah.
Up to something? Did I know he was going to be the other guy? I'd know because it could have been told me already. Like, I really wasn't trying to figure things out
because I was so lost. I did laugh every time he showed up in the mask as Scorpion because the giant scorpion on his mask was hilarious. But also, they went way overboard dubbing somebody like being muffled.
Oh, that's Scott. That's called attention to detail.
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
I stand corrected. But yeah, it was like, like okay, like you got to wear masks. You got to sell your mask. Huh? Yeah, I was like, wah, 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 wah. Like the dubbing even couldn't tell at points like what he was saying. Like there, like there were a couple points where I had the subtitle.
Something's
on.
Wrong with the radar, sir.
Yeah, the subtitle was just like mumbling. Like no, he said something there that we were supposed to get. Like, you know, it wasn't supposed to be mumbling That was funny. Yeah, anyways, five-way fight. It is also funny how abruptly, when it's all over, they just, like, walk away into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all done now.
Yep. Let's go get that money.
Yeah.
Speaking of that map, how did that old... Was the old guy just grab that candle and just hold on to it? It's his last death move?
I guess so.
Maybe... did the old teacher, like, send word to him that one of his...
So that was something I was...
might come for the money?
I was unclear on whether the old man actually was going to do something with the money, or if that was just a ploy to make them think that he was.
Mm.
Either way, he was dead, so that money was up for grabs.
All right. Alex, number one.
My number one is... they didn't go about it in a great way, but I do like that all these martial arts masters were, like, hidden behind masks. Some of them didn't even know each other, so it was, like, a mystery and a little bit of an investigation trying to figure out who was who. I wish this movie would be remade so that maybe that would be handled a little bit better. But I like that aspect of it. I like the idea that they had.
Yeah, it's investigation. A cool concept, yeah.
Yeah. Who's that? Oh, I gotta... And then him, like, the master telling him, so they're not gonna use their styles unless they're in a pinch or they're in a life or death situation. So you're gonna have to trick them or be very crafty about how you figure out. So that setup is maybe a bit too much because some of that stuff never happens, but... because some of these Venoms just wear their animal on their sleeve, literally.
Yeah. Alright, well, speaking of that, my number one is the beginning of the movie when they're all displaying their skills and why they're called the snake and why they're called the scorpion and centipede. And the plate scene was killing me, man. He was... I could just like, we have like 50 plates and this is it. You just get as many as you can.
It's like the bonus. The bonus in between.
He's like Fruit Ninja. Some are just dropping right next to him. I missed that one. Oh, okay, here, get my knee. And then, like, it felt like it was an eternity because it was in slow motion. Like, when are more plates going to fall? It's just taking forever for the next little round. It was bad. It made me laugh, but I don't know. And then just the lizard technique and the snake technique and the scorpion. Oh, they were just dumb, but made me laugh. Dumb in a good way, I guess. But the plates one really was.
Barely even, laugh. Like... nicking some of those plates too.
Yeah.
Stuff.
All right, well, that's it. Any honorable mentions?
I like when they did the flashback kind of when what's this guy, the new Venom and Lizard were trying to figure out, like, they were training a little bit, and it's like, okay, to take this guy out, we're gonna have to do this and everything, and they did like kind of. Like in Hero, where they did a battle of the mind to train themselves. I thought that part was pretty cool.
Like, it like cuts off abruptly. Because I think what happened is they filmed the third one, and then they were like, "Oh shit, we can't show this because we don't know who the audience doesn't know who the Scorpion is yet." Or maybe they just cut it off at a weird spot. They're like, and then for number three, like, he doesn't even get the E out in the dub, and then they just. Cuts to the next scene.
Oh, they gotta leave it a mystery. How are they gonna take out Scorpion? Oh, I don't know. We're gonna have to watch. Maybe. But that was my honorable mention.
Any of you, Scott?
I think I mentioned everything throughout other
people's. All right. Yeah. Well, there's time. It's time to rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Scott, what do you give it?
I give this a 6. I love the shit out of this. It barely a plot. Like you said, the dubbing's bad. Like, transfer wasn't there, but I still felt myself sucked in. Like, it's like an hour 45, maybe a little bit more than that. And it just flew by for me. I love, like, the different styles that they lean into, as silly as it all is. And yeah, I definitely have this on in the background at any point.
All right. Alex.
I'm also going to give this a 6. Some of the stuff wasn't handled as well as it could have, but, you know, budget and time constraints and whatnot. But this movie's still a hell of a lot of fun. The gore is unexpectedly welcomed and
yes,
creepy for that one kill, which was a surprise because I completely forgot about that. But yeah, thoroughly entertaining from beginning to end.
Okay, I gave it a 3. I did not like it. but maybe if I would have saw this, if I would have saw this younger or something, maybe. But yeah, no history with it. It was just, it's a mess.
The end of a drunk.
I'm sorry. So all right, and with that, it's time for our crossover topic, which is what, Scott?
Our top 5 martial arts styles. We also continue to play the side game of are we on the same page here? So
I will say this: I don't know exactly what constitutes a martial arts style or not. So my list will be kind of on brand, but probably a little bit different than what you guys have because I know very little about this subject. I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. Well, to start off, my number 5 is the bear style. Which we see at the end of Kung Fu Panda.
My number 4.
For a brief moment. So, yeah, I'll let Alex talk more about that one.
It's awesome.
Okay. Alex, number 5.
My number 5 is, I guess it would be the Tanaka style from Bloodsport.
The Dimak.
The Dimak. Well, that's a movie, Tanaka style. I have Shidoshi
my
style.
Shidoshi.
On my list.
This is for my Shidoshi.
Yeah, from Frank Dukes. Damn, I haven't seen that movie in a while. I could have watched it again.
I still get we haven't done that for this podcast.
We've done it.
I thought we did.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, redo.
I think next week is going to be our very first...
A re-Dukes.
Ooh, dang.
I don't got no fucking Dukes. All right, well, mine, see, this is where I'm going to go in, is I don't know much, but I'm going to go with Miyagi-Do Karate from Karate Kid.
That's my number 2.
Oh, is it? All right. Yeah. Well, then there you go. I'll let you talk more about that.
Yes. Miyagi-Do Karate style.
All right, Scott, number 4.
My number 4, to also steal something from Alex's list, I'm sure, is Hamster Style from...
Oh, no. I did not. I left it for you, Scott.
Oh, thank you. This is from Orgasmo. Chotem Boy. I don't remember what his character's name is supposed
Chota to be. Boy.
Yeah, he practices hamster style. It's a very deadly martial art that he swears off of in the most mundane way. But gets over it at the end and helps and uses it to help save the day.
God, I can still smell that newspaper.
Chota Boy! Cock Rocket!
That's another one I haven't seen in a while.
Alright, Alex, number 4.
Bear Style from Kung Fu Panda. Oh, it was awesome. You kind of knew it was coming, and everybody didn't think much of Po, the bear, but once Shifu gets... serious about his training, go off in the woods, and then you see a hint of bear style when he uses his belly to bounce back the dumpling, and then he uses it in full form against Tai Lung at the very end. So badass.
You slapping really, at him. Really see it, yeah, like for a split second where he's like leaning forward, yeah, and he like slaps his hand away. Yeah,
don't you go like a bear? Get out of here. Cool. Yeah. Where's your dumpster?
Alright, well my number 4... I just put Kung Fu from every Kung Fu movie. It's a martial arts style. So I really don't know. But if you give me a specific Kung Fu, then whatever Pai Mei teaches Beatrix Kiddo from the Kill Bill movies. I don't know if there is a style he teaches her, but...
Okay. Yeah. Just Pai Mei Kung Fu style.
All right. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, Scott, number 3. I told you, I know nothing about martial arts or martial art movies.
My number 3 is Drunken Boxing.
Oh, shit. I should have had that.
So,
that's good.
You know, best espoused in Legend of Drunken Master 2? I forget which one. The one we actually did.
Yes.
Where like runs over coals and stuff, but yeah, just all the like hallmark drunken boxing stuff, like the corkscrew, like the funky stance, the chaos of it. But yeah, Drunken Master. Or Drunken Boxing from Drunken Master.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Alex, number three.
My number three is the Gun Kata from Equilibrium.
That's deadly. My number two.
That's also my number two.
Yeah. Well, then there you go.
All right. My number three, and I had to look this up because I was pretty sure this is from the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. What Batman/Bruce Wayne uses? It's called Kisei?
Okay.
I don't know.
What did he say?
I mean, that's what he's learning from Ra's al Ghul's guys, I guess. I don't even know where he officially learns it, because he actually knows some stuff before he even gets there. So yeah, I don't know where he learns.
Yeah, and the Nolan's hard to say. Like, in the comics, yeah, you know, it's like, he trains a bunch of different places. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they said specifically for the Nolan movies, it's Kisei. And I don't know if that's an in-universe thing or that's something real life, what they call it, and that's what he uses in the movie. I didn't do enough research to know, but there it is. The Batman Martian.
Did somebody ever say, why don't you Kisei my ass? And then he got the shit beat out of him by Batman.
Yeah, and then Batman punched him in the face. Kisei to me. I don't know. That was awful. All right, Scott, number two.
Okay. Yeah, my number two is the Gun Kata, the Grammaton clerics use in Equilibrium.
Shit,
it's
man.
Good stuff. Going back to the Bale Whale here.
Yeah.
The Bale Whale?
Bale Well.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
The Bale Whale.
Well.
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 That's true. We just had back-to-back bales. Yes. I like Gun Kata as well. Because it's just punching people with guns is fun.
Oh, man. When they do the editing where his hands are moving really fast, but he's still standing perfectly still in the dark. The strobing effects with the gunshots. Yeah. Badass.
The completely pointless part movie, where he tosses the clips on the ground and then eventually gets to them and then slams his guns down on the clips.
Oh, yeah, as he's doing a dodge roll or something.
Awesome. Almost positive we've done Equilibrium.
Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. But if it was in the oldie episodes, then maybe it's time for a refresh.
Did we do Ultraviolet?
Like Kung Pao.
I don't think we did Ultraviolet.
Yeah.
I don't want to do Ultraviolet.
No, yeah, no Ultraviolet. All right, Alex, number two.
Number two is Miyagi-Do Karate. Miyagi-Do.
It still bugs the shit out of me they didn't know how to pronounce his name. At a karate tournament.
Well, Richard Dawson was not sober when he was officiating the All Valley.
Yeah, I guess.
Tournament.
Richard Dawson.
Yeah, also, I'm just go with that one. I don't know what he's.
I don't know. The guy always kind of looked like Richard Dawson to me.
Okay. Well,
Miyagi.
Yeah, I mean, you guys still don't watch Cobra Kai, right? Or do you?
I have not.
I've seen the first season.
I haven't watched any of it.
It's a big deal. There's two different. Kids are learning two different styles, Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai. And it's just obviously more defense first and all that stuff. It's just, they're building on the lore. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of it over there.
Different fundamental philosophies in their in their karate.
Yeah. No kendo.
The only thing that's just unbelievable as it is in the movies that all these high schoolers are taking karate class. Like, that's the coolest thing. Everyone takes karate. And it just kills me. Can't go to the water park. They go to Raging Waters, but a karate fight breaks out, as always happens. Like, God, the fuck?
you had to go to Wild Rivers.
Oh, isn't that where they train speed of hand and then speed of foot? At the water park.
No,
where else are you going to do it?
I
kitchen sink.
That's what Edmond Dantes turns the Chateau d'If into. He turns it into a water park once he buys it at the end of the movie.
I mean, true. It's just a big drop at the end.
Yeah.
there is. That's true. Yeah, there's a diving pool.
Speaking of Wild Rivers, we were just at the Irvine Park, or whatever you call it, the Great Park, and the new Wild Rivers is set up over there. I saw it in the distance. It looks so ghetto now. Like, before it was like built into the hills. Now it's just a bunch of plastic tubes. Looks like Mousetrap or something over there.
Yeah,
it sounds awesome.
Irvine's desperate to figure out what to do with that space, so they'll put anything up at this point.
Mm-hmm. Anything except affordable housing.
Yeah, well, don't be ridiculous.
I was just going to say. It's just a matter of time until it's just all housing and nothing else.
Yeah, just $1 million, like 600 foot square. It's like 600 foot square. Square feet, like townhomes.
It looks the same. All right, so my number two is also Gunkata, so we're on to Scott number one.
My number one is, in particular, Spike from Cowboy Bebop, but Spike's brand of Jeet Kune Do.
Oh, nice.
And he does mix in some Gunkata in there a little bit, too.
Yeah.
He's not improficient. I'm not sure if the word is right. But anyways, his Jeet Kune Do... definitely gets showcased a lot in the movie that we did on the podcast. But yeah, it's super cool. Just a lot of those like long kicks, and then like the kind of slow wind up for punches, and then just bursts of the quick jabs. The end. It all looks really cool. Just like very fluid, which was like kind of the point of Jeet Kune Do, I guess. But you captured really well in animation. So yeah, number one, Spike. Spike's Jeet Kune Do.
All right. And Alex, number one.
Also Jeet Kune Do, but this is the real one. I remember Jason Scott Lee portrayed Bruce Lee in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. And they kind of showed, maybe it's probably a bit romanticized, but how he came up with the whole philosophies and the ideas for Jeet Kune Do while he was getting treated for his back paralysis. Taking notes, having his wife Linda take notes for him and everything. So that whole process, that whole martial arts, him coming back and actually walking the walk after he defeats the bad guy that crippled him, that broke his back the first time with Jeet Kune Do, and he beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lost, he got his ass kicked by some stuntman.
Hey, nobody kicked Bruce Lee's ass. Yeah.
First of all, nobody was kicking Bruce's ass. All right, my number one is Your Fist to My Balls technique as perfected by Wimplo from Kung Pao.
Yes! This is trade wrong on purpose as a joke.
I can't believe you guys, Alex specifically, didn't have any of these on here.
Because my boys love to watch that movie now. It's great.
I mean, I guess balls head is a move. It's not a full on.
Yeah, it's not a full on martial art.
Yeah.
Let's see how you handle your fist to my balls technique.
I bleed first, making me the victim.
Oh, that's so good.
See, we got to redo that. We got to redo that episode.
Okay, but we have to be in the same room, and there has to be alcohol or some other mind-altering substances in the
fine, room too. I guess.
Legal mind-altering substances.
Oh, yeah. We're in California now.
Legal. Whatever's legal.
Yeah.
All right, any honorable mentions?
So, Capoeira, specifically from...
Oh, yeah.
From Only the Strong.
Only the Strong. Kansas.
Mok Bara, probably mispronouncing that. That's the Klingon martial art. I think it includes like fighting with the bat lifts and everything, which seems like a wildly impractical weapon, but it's still pretty cool.
Is it Kirk or the Klingons who like to do the double hammer to the back all the time in Star Trek?
It's Kirk. He's a double hammer.
That
he had two go to moves. It was the double hammer fist and the roll on the ground to trip your opponent.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems like a really good way to get a knee to the face, but hey, worked for Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Gymkata from Gymkata.
Gymkata, yeah. I almost remember this. yeah. And going back, Alex actually mentioned it. Toad style, but from Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call the heroes. Was it... I mean, the Budapan was the move. It's just more like generic Kung Fu that he was supposed to be doing, though, yes. So,
mm-hmm.
But, anyways, yeah. Oh, and Zengen Ryu, which is Tifa's fighting style from Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wait, what's the fight... Well, what did you say?
Zengen Ryu.
Oh, okay. What is that?
It's the martial arts from the character Tifa from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, what's the fighting style of Ken and Ryu
I actually did look that up, and I forget what it is. It's a mouthful.
Something Shenlong.
Pull it up.
I think it's called Aruken!
All you can.
Yeah.
Stop doing all you cans.
Alright. Time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, no hitters. Pitchers have thrown them.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty rare. You hear about them, but they're still pretty rare. So, Michael Lorenzen threw a no-hitter for the Phillies. That got me thinking, how rare are no-hitters? So, do you guys know about... You guys want to take a guess as to how many no-hitters have been thrown since 1876, the start of professional baseball?
How many no-hitters since when?
1876.
I'm going to say 123.
I'm going to say 250.
Ooh, Jeff is closer. It's 322.
Okay.
Ooh, I almost said 300.
And that's an average of two no-hitters per year.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty rare.
Still pretty rare, yeah. Also, Michael Lorenzen was like an angel like a season and a half ago, so... Just want to point that out.
So, of course. The hitter for the Phillies. And I'm pretty sure you guys know this. Who's the record holder for the most no-hitters? Most
no-hitters. Nolan Ryan.
Yep.
Not Cy Young?
No, not Cy Young. Okay. Nolan Ryan has seven. He's thrown seven no-hitters for the Angels. He threw, how many? One, two?
Three or four.
Yeah, three. I think four for the Angels.
It was like Hall of Fame pitchers that go without their whole career.
Yeah.
So
and
go ahead, Alex.
Who's got the second most no hitters?
Second most no hitters. Is it
Babe Ruth? I don't know.
Is it Greg Maddux?
It is not Greg Maddux, but he does have an X in his name.
Xander Bogaerts.
It's Sandy Koufax.
It is Sandy Koufax. He's got four no hitters. So
what's crazy there? Look at Nolan Ryan pitched for like 20 years. Koufax pitched for like 9.
Damn.
Yeah, like,
and he still got four.
Him and Drysdale. That might be the best 1-2.
Mr. Drysdale.
Yes. sorry, just because we're getting super nerdy on this, I heard a stat the other day. I read it, I don't remember. But
a stat in baseball?
Yeah, I know. So we talk about Nolan Ryan, who's like top 10 pitchers of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Ryan threw something like 100-something complete games, right? Like, and he was only like 200-something on the list of like guys that throw complete games. Like, that's a record that's never, ever going to be broken. Like, Cy Young had some insane number. It was, like 400, 500 complete game. Like, it was Absolutely.
So that's going, throwing all nine innings.
Yes, throwing all nine innings.
Damn.
Like, pitchers just don't do that anymore. Like, it might happen once or twice a season for, like, the best pitchers. Like, they just...
Yeah, because...
They won't let guys go that long anymore. But it's insane to me that, like, we think of Nolan Ryan, like, kind of bridging that gap between old school and like, modern, like, pitching now. And, like, yeah, even he was, like, being yanked out of games after a certain number of innings. Most of the time.
Yeah. But I was also going to say, I think two of Nolan Ryan's no-hitters came after the age of 40 as well. He was still awesome.
So I could still do it.
His career. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there was...
Time for NIM News!
Yeah.
It was, yeah. I was going to say there was probably also a record for the number of hits that Ventura got off of Nolan Ryan in a single inning. Anyway.
Anyways.
At least Jeff gets that joke, I hope.
Ventura.
All right. So, yeah, not a lot for me this week. I started playing Baldur's Gate 3, which was in early access for a very long time, but has officially launched as of the end of last week. Baldur's Gate 2 came out around 2000, so it's quite the gap here. Completely different studios. That was way back when it was BioWare. That did Baldur's Gate 2. And yeah, this one is, you know, that was D&D 2.0, basically, like Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Baldur's Gate 3 uses the 5th edition version rules of Dungeons and Dragons, so quite a lot of differences there. But yeah, this is Larian Studios now doing the game, and it's pretty cool. There's a lot of thought has gone into story, dialogue, like all the different like roles that you make. I'm not in love with 5th edition. I've never really been. It's still fun, but it's also really hard. I'm getting my ass kicked. It's turn-based. all the combat's turn-based, so it's not like I have to like think fast. I don't know. So I can't even blame that on like getting older, but all that said, yeah, it's still pretty cool.
And
it's just a massive game, like not just like in how long it's going to take to beat, but it's like 120 gigs for this game.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It seems like I don't, you know, I'm not a
pro. Red Dead was 99.
Yeah, like the Starfield is going to be like less than that, not by a lot. So it's wild to me that it takes
so much space,
but
they gotta compress their video or something.
I don't know
what they're using for cutscenes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's lots of loads too, so I don't know. Like, it's not like Cyberpunk where you're just.
Well, what's
like,
this game rated? Hold on.
Oh, there's a junk selector at the beginning when you're making your character.
Yes,
just like in Cyberpunk. So
yeah, give people more choices. I want some big balls.
They had a hot pat or a hot fix this week, where if you're playing one of the races, you get Yankee. If you had penis type C or D, it was clipping through clothing. So they like.
Well, that's what I want.
But they fixed that, so that's no longer happening.
Boo.
It's because we're in the modern era, but it's not a Japanese game, so there's no boob slider. You can choose the size of your junk, but you can't like you're not really given much choice on the poop side of things.
If it's the B+, I would like to have something like that.
The character creation is actually pretty well done as far as like how your character looks anyway. It's 5th edition, so there's just like less like customization than you might find in like one of these games. As far as like your stats and things like that, but anyways, yeah, that just come out. That'll tide me over this month until Starfield releases beginning of next month. I've been listening to this podcast called Behind the Bastards, by Robert Evans. He's the guy that does the podcast. You know, usually have it.
The making of the Han shot for his podcast.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Maybe we're on there. I haven't looked through all the episodes. But he basically goes, does some research on like horrible people throughout history. Some of them are like more contemporary. But yeah, he'll do like these deep dives on people, and like a lot of it just left me seething because there's like people that are still alive for some of it.
I can't listen to that.
But
I don't want to be angry.
I did just listen to the one on Steven Seagal. Like, I mean, like that guy's a great piece of shit, by the way.
Yes,
but that one I was able to laugh at because it's like. He doesn't have the blood of, like, thousands of people on his hand. Like, tens of thousands of people on his hand. So it's a little easier to laugh. But they just... For people that are around for the early days of the internet, do you guys remember Sean Baby? Like...
No.
He was one of his writer for Cracked as well. But anyways, he was on this two-part with Seagal, and he's really funny. So just something I was listening to, something I recommend. Is at least the Seagal set. Like, it's crazy. Like, Seagal, like, is claimed to be like a Navy SEAL. He's claimed to do work for the CIA. Like, just a pathological liar. And, like, and just some of the stuff he does is just, like, just patently ridiculous. Like, not necessarily evil, but just ridiculous. It does add a little bit of levity to him just being an awful person. And then finally, you know, I know Jeff loves his Gotham stories. I watched an animated one. I don't know how long ago the graphic novel or comic came out. It was at least done in part by Mike Mignola, the guy who did Hellboy. But there's a Batman kind of one-off called the Doom That Came to Gotham. It's basically Batman circa like the 20s, maybe even earlier than that. But it's like set in the backdrop of like Lovecraft. So basically Batman has to stop Cthulhu is kind of the, the gist of it. And it's really dark even for like a Batman joint. They do a good job of kind of mashing up a lot of the Batman lore, like, into it without directly making it, like, his rogues gallery. So they do some interesting things with that. But yeah, that's on Max now, formerly HBO Max. HBO Plus, formerly HBO Go.
So Batman wasn't the Kwisatz Haderach?
He's not the Kwisatz Haderach. That's it for me. Alex, anything you wanted to go over?
Yes. I recently took a weekend trip to Vegas. It is hot as balls out there, as usual, during this time of year. But we went to this neat place called Area 15. It's getting all the buzz on social media and everything. And, you know, when you see some places in social media, sometimes it doesn't live up to the hype or doesn't look as cool. This place completely was. It was pretty awesome, and it's just a collection of shops and everything, but there's this interactive, I would say, art experience. Not really a museum, but there's some cool, like, sculptures and pieces in there, but it's called the Omega Mart, and I'm not gonna spoil too much, but it's like a supermarket, but everything has, like, wacky, crazy names on it. The screens, you know, all have, like, cheesy, like, 80s, 90s grocery store commercials playing and everything. But not everything is as it seems in this grocery store. Actually, our friend Jacob, who lives out there, he went to the Omega Mark not knowing what it was. And he's like, all right, I guess this is pretty funny. And he was about to leave before, like, he got into, like, the real meat and potatoes of the place. Until he spotted something out of the corner of his eye. He's like, oh, shit. Like, and so they spent the rest of the day there. But, yeah, I highly recommend if you're out in Vegas. Check out the Omega Mart. It's a bit pricey, but I thought it was worth it.
Who the kids had a lot of fun. The Omega Mart?
I do.
And so Alex, what part? Did he was just doing the grocery store part, and that was it?
Yeah. Then he was about to leave, and he saw some people coming out of somewhere. Again, sorry, but I can't. Seriously, I don't want to spoil anything. It's really cool.
I talked about this a year ago, and I think I spoiled all of it back then.
So. Oh, and then there you go. People don't remember.
I really like Jeff thinks we have listeners that are still with us.
Alex is the one spoiling it for people. Not spoiling it.
But yeah, he almost missed everything. On the video game side, I am playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Now, the debate kind of rages on. Is this a Zelda game? I know, Jeff, even from Breath of the Wild, that was not a Zelda game for you. Right?
It was a Zelda game. It was just, I didn't like it because of weapon durability is why I didn't really like that game.
Yes. It's a little bit worse. That part is a little bit worse in this one. Mainly because on the bow, you don't find, and you can't craft, well, you can, but you don't find fire arrows or lightning arrows or anything like that. You always have to pull out your bow and then one arrow at a time, like as you're firing it, attach something to it to make it like fire or ice or lightning. And then you shoot it, and then you have to do that again. So, yeah. It's just the way they do that with the melee weapons, the shields, and the bow, like, really slows down the pacing of fights and everything, and it's a drag. However, I will say that the stupid physics puzzles, which I was completely prepared to hate, from watching all the trailers and commercials and stuff, as I actually really like them. They're very engaging. They bring out the mechanical engineer in me because it's like a lot of I wouldn't call it lazy, but a lot of the temples are like, okay, to get your heart piece or whatever, you have to go here, and then there's a huge gap, and then where you are, there's just a bunch of random crap, and it's like, okay, you build something to figure out how to get over there. So that can be fun for some. I would imagine not all, but it can be fun. So I would say that it's got enough of the Zelda DNA in it, the quirky characters and everything, and the storyline is still pretty cool, that it is a Zelda game. It's just not our Zelda game anymore. So this might be, unless they do like a throwback or a remake, this might be like one of the last Zelda games I ever play. Because it's alright, but I'm not in love with it.
Did you beat Breath of the Wild?
I did.
Yeah, I still need to go back and do that. Jeff, did you finish Breath of the Wild? I forget.
No.
Okay. I know you're getting
your brother.
At, like, some of
Brian movie. Loved it.
The whatever they were. Yeah, I think I told you. I got to the fourth beast or whatever. My weapons would not survive long enough, so I had to go grind basically to get a bunch of stuff and Master Sword. And then I just kind of got bored. And when I came back, I just didn't remember how to play. And I was like, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Alex?
Nope, that's it.
Just a quick update. I figured out Ken Ryu's fighting style. It's Ansutsuken. Ansatsuken. Yeah, it's hard to pronounce. Okay. Yes. There you go.
You said it was a mouthful.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
It's like, more phonetically, it's Ansatsuken.
Like Gaijin over here. And
Garugamesh. Jeff, anything you want to go over?
Yeah, before I get into mine, maybe I lost it. Oh, on IMDb, I've never noticed this before. It has celebrity birthdays as of today, August 9th. I'll just go. Bill Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
Yeah. Ashley Johnson. I'm not sure who that is.
She's the... I think she's the waitress at the end of the first Avengers movie.
Oh, we said
that's what it says. I don't know who that is, but okay.
She was also in Growing Pains. Right about the same time that Leo DiCaprio was, so they obviously never dated.
She was the voice of, wasn't she the voice of Allie, the girl from The Last of Us?
Yes, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also on Critical Role for if that means anything. Or has been
Sorry. Next, Sam Elliott. And then we have Anna Kendrick, Gillian Anderson, Rona Mitra, I don't know who that is, Robert Shaw, Eric Banya, and some other people.
But your birthday's down there. Our birthday.
Rona Mitra was in the third or the fourth. What were the Kate Beckinsale vampire movies called again?
Underworld.
Underworld, yeah. She was like in the third or fourth one that was like the prequel that had not Michael Shannon. Maybe it was Michael Shannon? Not General Zod, but the... Anyway. Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen, that's who it was, yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Audrey
Tautou. President Kennedy, you idiot.
Sorry.
What?
Audrey Tautou, also born today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, she's the, oh, yeah, there she is. I skipped her.
Chalice Holmes.
They were looking.
Guess who else is?
Chalice Holmes.
Marcy Darcy.
Oh, yeah, Amanda Bears?
Right?
Yeah, Amanda Bears. Yeah,
there you go.
The Bears.
All right. Anyway, I saw Oppenheimer. It's long. I don't know. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. It's a good... I can't say it's not a good movie. But I was definitely confused at parts of it, which is not unusual for me. But usually in a movie like that, I'm pretty good. It's usually just other stuff. But I don't know. There was... It wasn't the science stuff that I was confused by, because they don't expect you to understand the physics behind an atom bomb. But it was who was doing what to who, and who's this American government official, and all this stuff. It just got a little confusing for me. And then he films part of it in color, part of it in black and white, and I had to like find out online afterwards like what was what. But anyway, so I still recommend it. So I saw that.
I thought people weren't allowed to see Oppenheimer and Barbie. It had to be one or the other.
No, you're supposed to see both.
You're supposed to see both. That's why I like Barbieheimer. Yeah, I went to movies 3 weeks in a row, and all three were pretty good. Yeah, there was something else. Oh, I started watching the Lakers. The Winning Time is back on HBO.
Yeah, I saw
that
today. Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't finished. We got tired and didn't finish it last night, but started that. And I think that's it. Oh, I said I went to the park the other day. I went and saw The Offspring play at Five Point Amphitheater. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool
band.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone else is going to go see Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
For a white guy. No, they were pretty cool. I'd never seen them in person. They were really good. I recommend them. Sum 41, who opened for them, not so good.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Did they do the Neverending Story cover?
I don't know.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, they done that.
Is that a thing they do?
I think they do a cover of that.
Could be. You're thinking of Sum 42.
You know what? I might be thinking of like Newfound Glory. I don't know.
Maybe. But,
I mean, Jeff is the authority on them. So.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the authority on that. I'm asking you.
I don't.
I'm just not a big. I forgot about Sub 41 until we were listening to them recently, because Laura's like, they're opening for them. I'm like, who's that again? And just.
I wonder if Liz.
Oh, they're pretty rough.
Anyway.
Yeah, all those bands. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.